Brought to us by the Snoring Center and Dallas Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. I'm kind of the Edward R. Murrow of TMS coverage out here.
Just kind of, yeah.
I'm the only one that has the guts to go out in the infield. I notice you two jackass wagons don't go out there.
We're
putting
anchors.
Yourself in arm's way.
We're sports anchors.
You have to anchor the sports back here,
yeah,
while I cover what's going,
uh-huh,
on out there. All right, I see. Okay, so I spent 30 minutes out there talking with people. I don't know how much you guys covered that on the air.
It was a wildly entertaining 30 minutes.
First of all, I have a few questions. Question number one is, how are people affording these $100,000 to $150,000 buses?
I know, there's a lot of really nice rigs.
I mean,
out there.
Even the rental on them. I'm assuming they're renting a lot of these, right?
Yeah, I bet some of them rent them for the weekend. Yeah.
Well, how much is that costing?
A couple thousand? Yeah. It costs it for a nice one. Yeah.
In this economy, how are these people affording it?
Well, it's their vacation. It's their big trip of the year.
Well, the people I talked to, I know for a fact, were saving on dental coverage. The one guy whose ex-wife knifed him in the face.
Yeah.
I swear to you, he had less teeth than something that only has two teeth.
Really?
Yes.
We're scoring well at table number two over here.
Table number two over there has about got a pack in of
each. Yeah, they're about three beers in
already. Look at them. They got beer. They're hoisting over their camouflage caps. I mean, these guys are living it up over here.
That's NASCAR right there.
You bet. A guy's knifed him in the face.
And he was really down to one chopper, or?
Seriously, he probably had about five teeth.
Wow.
And they all were in various states of discoloration.
Directions?
All different directions. If the compass had about 20 points to it, it'd be facing those points, every single one of them. How many points does a compass have to it? Do you say it has 4 points? There's 4 points of the compass, or is it 360? I don't know.
It's not just one point.
Anyway,
That's the point.
Say 360, right? 360 possibilities?
That's not the point. We're not having compass talk. What we want to talk about.
Good idea, though.
What we want to talk about is what was going on out there. That skillet that guy had built. And this is what I'm thinking. This guy has spent hours and hours and hours designing and building a big-ass skillet called Lil Bubba.
He's going to need it this week. He's got a lot of friends he's got to cook for.
6 feet across, had a huge, ridiculous Paul Bunyan handle on it, had to tow it behind his truck.
What did he heat it with? I'm intrigued by this.
He had like about 12 high-test or propane canisters up under it. I don't know what it was. It looked like it had a couple of those hot air balloon burners up under it.
Interesting. Was it on a trailer?
Yeah. On a trailer.
There you go, Rich.
Are you thinking about one?
Interesting.
Because you have to, like, assemble yours, right?
No, my camper's got a...
No, your griddle, though. Don't you have a...
That's not mine. That belongs to our Cub Scout.
Oh.
My camper's got a three-burner stove.
Well, I'm telling you, he could feed East Africa with that thing. And then the school buses. It's very popular out here to convert old school buses into some... They look like halfway between camping vehicles and hunting platforms on top.
They could probably use them for both, I guess.
I mean, seriously, it's like a military transport. Well, you could fit so many guys up on top of the thing in the platform that they weld to the top.
Well, they use that so they get a better vantage point to see the race on Sunday.
Okay, Saturday night. Which I understand. But then they surround it with Confederate flags and Texas flags. I mean, there were how many 12 flagpoles on the top of that one school bus?
Well, they got to show who they're representing.
That's the one thing I'm doing wrong when it comes to NASCAR. I don't have a flagpole.
Do you have a stripper pole?
I don't have a stripper pole either.
Well,
I heard that, and I was like, man, I'm falling behind there, too.
Now, does that show a slight lack of class?
Slight.
Going down the highway, towing a stripper pole.
Look, you're talking on the radio station that had a stripper pole for a bikini contest last year.
We did?
That wasn't a high point in any of our lives.
Wasn't it?
No, it was not.
Rich, you can't...
Then the guy said they designed it where it can hold a stripper up to 350 pounds.
Everything's bigger in Texas, he said.
Now, Rich, you camp outside the speedway,
correct,
right? What does it take to camp in the infield?
A lot of money.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah,
another expense.
And see, these campsites are sold out, I think, on a season basis anyway.
So what does it cost for a spot?
I'm not sure. I think it's, I want to say it's maybe at least $1,500 for the season, and that's 3 weekends. It might be more than that for the infield.
So those people that you talk to,
are they all rich? They don't.
I don't know.
They don't look like landed gentry to me. I mean,
but that's not even the highest end camping. Did you look at the back stretch? Several years ago, they tore down the top section of seats on the back stretch, and they made 78.
Oh, I see
luxury
them.
Yeah,
those are tour buses there.
Yeah,
basically.
It's called Burnout Alley, I think.
That's
and
classy.
It's like $16,000 for the year to get that. And you basically make your RV your luxury suite. They bring in a TV for you. You've got seating right in front of it. You can have indoor-outdoor carpeting.
Wow.
You can have it catered for the weekend. And your RV is your luxury suite for the weekend, and you're right there overlooking the track.
I don't get it.
That's pretty badass, though,
man. They're having to weld their own grills and make their own tattoos. So
those guys aren't back there.
But if you went in on it with like five different families, though, I mean, it's still going to be expensive, but that'd be one way to do it.
Yeah.
To where it wouldn't be just outrageous.
And there are a lot of people. This is their vacation for the year, or two or three times a year if they come to all three races.
So you walk through RV Alley there in the infield, and all you smell is exhaust fumes from the generators and sausage cooking.
Bacon. There's bacon, too.
And cigarette smoke.
And cigarette smoke. How many of the people that I talked to out there were using their first tobacco product of the day before they'd even have a bite to eat?
All of them.
I think all of them, yeah.
How is that?
Boy, how about the guy?
They're leaning over these grills with a, you know, Marlboro 100 that's about half ash.
How about the guy who had the giant open heart surgery scar?
Jeez.
He's in his early 40s, and he's still smoking and drinking.
Smoking and drinking, and he justified it somehow by saying, well, you still mow the grass. What did that mean?
I didn't get that.
I didn't understand it.
Boy, it's so funny.
And the one guy I thought worked for a law firm, he didn't. He explained
you that. You did not think he worked for a law firm.
Do you remember what he really did?
Yeah, he worked at Peterbilt.
Yeah, he made Peterbilts.
Yeah. It's a good job.
It's good
probably
job.
A union job up in Denton.
Well, it's salt of the earth. These are my people. These people.
You rip on them.
No, I can identify more with them than you guys can.
That's not true.
It is true. I guarantee you, I could more successfully hang out with the average guy out here than you guys could. We'd have stuff to talk about, hunting, fishing, living in the country.
That's me.
That's me.
No, whatever. cousin screwing.
Yeah, that's okay, you got a point.
Wait, no. More you guys, Keith.
Gordon Keith. Gordon Keith.
Nobody jumped on that one to claim in, huh?
All right, you want one more redneck joke?
Sure.
How do you know when you're staying in a hotel in Arkansas?
Hmm.
When you call up to the front desk and say, I got a leak in my sink, the clerk replies, go ahead.
Hell, mine.
Is that funny? You want some redneck medical terms?
Sure.
Benign. What does that mean? What does
you
got to
be in by nine.
No, benign means what you be after you be eight. Artery.
Huh.
It's a study of paintings. You know that. Barium.
Hmm.
That's what doctors do when patients die. Come on, George. Cauterize. Redneck medical term, cauterize. It means you made eye contact.
I cauterized as I walked in, yeah.
Oh, these are so bad. Varicose.
It was
you're very almost close, yeah.
It means something's nearby.
Yeah.
So stupid. Why? It is always so fun, though, going out there every single year.
Oh, it's great.
No, they're great generally tradition. Nice people.
Yeah, they're always very friendly and
laughing, those big old smoker hacking laughs.
You sit there and make fun of them, and they just take it and laugh. And
I'm not making fun of them. I'm laughing with them.
What I enjoyed most with them was the guy's guess on who the Secretary of State is.
Obama.
And they weren't going to vote for Obama either, again.
Yeah, I have been out here how many years in a row, and I have yet to run into an Obama voter.
It's amazing. And you never will.
Did you guys vote for Obama?
Hell no.
That's what that guy said.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's that dude. Are you going to vote for Obama again?
Again.
Again. For the first time. All right. I want to just touch on something that we talked about, the video games. You know how we've been so shocked at the violent video games, including the one Postal, that when you exit the game, when you want to, instead of just quit and save, what you do when you exit the game is your character kneels down, puts the gun up under his chin, says, "I regret nothing," and then blows his head off.
It's such an unnecessary way to end a game.
I know it, and it's staying with me. I can't quit thinking about the end of that game.
He's going to go buy it today. Any questions?
Well, that Postal game is very old, but it did make the list of most violent video games of all time. Jason takes issue with our coverage of these video games. He says, hey, look, Postal and Postal 2 were terribly made video games that were developed for pure shock value. He says there is an awful German director named, well, so on and so on. Anyway, he wants to tell me about this German video game, horrible video game that his college roommate ordered online after some late night drinking. It was called Ethnic Cleansing.
Oh my gosh.
God. And he says,
how did you put a game like that out?
He says, it's as bad as you think. The point is to run around
shooting minorities
while they yell stereotypical phrases.
That was available in this country?
Yes. And he says that the reason he ordered it online, his roommate, was for the free mouse pad that came with the video game. So for your $14.99 purchase of the game, you got a mouse pad adorned with a... And this is the stuff that we sell. This is how we celebrate our freedom.
Some product should not be available for sale.
I hope that's the lowest selling video game in America.
Well, people are buying it. And this... young punk here is laughing.
He's got a ticket T-shirt on.
I know, he's got a ticket T-shirt
he's
on.
He's raising his bacon
and
in his hand.
And he's eating a stick of bacon. You bet. So this guy says he's going to see if he can't find that mouse pad and bring it up to the ticket for George.
Not for me. I don't
Jeez Louise.
Talk about that stuff like you do.
Zach says the worst thing about the video games nowadays is the online chat during the game. You know how people do this, right? You wear a little headset and you get to chat with other people playing the game.
Like Bob and Dan when they play Submarine Commander 6.
They take that on the road with them all the time, right?
Yeah. Well, Zach says the entire conversations on these online games consist of 12-year-old boys calling each other the N-word and cussing like drunken sailors. And he thinks that the violence takes a back seat to just the racism and hate that they can spew online during these games.
Yeah. You know, I've got a youngster playing
it out. No, of course not.
No, I'm not a defense of it. I'm concerned about it. In fact, there are times when my 11-year-old gets online to play with his cousins and stuff, but I always wonder who else is on there. I need to monitor that.
You have no idea,
and hear what's going on, yeah.
Yeah, okay, listen to that. We need to go into one of these games and roll tape and just hear what's being said.
Okay.
Because for some reason, and this is, you know, I kind of lean libertarian. You guys know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also hold the view very passionately that human beings cannot handle freedom, which just seems counter to my libertarian leanings, because I don't think once someone knows they're anonymous, it's like that greater FWOD theory of the internet.
Right.
That if you're guaranteed anonymity and you get an audience, you can't handle it.
Right.
The human brain is not designed to handle that. We're designed to handle structure, authority figures keeping us in place.
Right.
That's what we can handle. But when we have unlimited freedom, why do you think dictators generally go crazy once they get all that power?
Because there's no one keeping them in check.
That's right.
Yeah, well, the authority...
Hastily drawn conclusion for a talk radio program.
You're right. It's the lack of freedom that makes us behave like civil human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take that away, when you take all bumpers away, and you take the identity of the person away, that's when they become a complete jackass.
Sure enough.
But yet we want freedom.
Yes, we want freedom.
But we can't handle it.
But yet, once we get that kind of freedom that has no consequences attached to it, we don't handle it responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
we want to go through. We get the video games that we can go through society, just blowing everyone away, smashing crap, renting prostitutes, and stealing their money afterwards after you do them in.
Gosh, so disturbing.
I know, human beings disturb me to no end.
All right, Gordo, thank you. Thank you for
that. One of them. That's why you're about to see me kneel down and say I regret nothing.
It may not happen today, but it will happen.
Would you stop with that?
No doubt about that.
9:34 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. That is Gordo's Corner. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the